So we continue with Savitri, the giver of hope in an increasingly hopeless world. Or so we think. We believe that our assessment is right to start with. But we can hardly see things. We see only on the surface. So that's what Sri Aurobindo reminds us, that with our surface vision we cannot understand anything. And unless we have the deeper vision of things, all our assessments, analysis, debates, discussions carry very little meaning. So first thing is to go deep and reclaim the true vision. So one of the things that Sri Aurobindo does is he gives us the vision, exchanges our vision with his own, gives us that. And one example that I always, so many examples, but one of them is we all go visit the ashram, we see pictures of Mother and Sri Aurobindo, we do pranam, we do so many things. Now, when Mother first time goes to see and she has the she meets Sri Aurobindo, what does she see? The one who is whose presence, she sees the Lord, whose presence is enough. So, but our vision we cannot see. So repeatedly in secret knowledge and everywhere in Savitri, Sri Aurobindo reminds us, as long as we remain confined to the mind and its workings, we will not find the source of hope, will not understand the play. It will always remain ambiguous, mysterious, and our minds will be filled with anxieties and worries and fears of all kinds. So first thing is to make this fellow quiet. If the mind is not quiet, if the vital is restless, we obviously cannot understand what's happening around. So then where is the source of hope? Again, we look in the wrong direction. Suddenly a government changes and we say, ah, now there is hope. Then after some time again, we say, oh no, this didn't work out. Then another one comes. So we constantly put our hope in the wrong direction, in government, systems, organizations, machinery. But that's not where hope comes from. So Sri Aurobindo reveals to us hope comes from three sources. Many, but three mainly. One, that there is a soul within. Or even before that, there is grace. This whole creation is an act of grace, and it actually, even if we intuitively don't sense it, purely logically, forget about everything else. Just logically, if as a pure scientist, when I look at how life has emerged from atoms and so-called chaos of the quantum world right up to here, it's an impossible journey. What are the odds? Not even one in trillion. So yet it has emerged. What else is it but that mysterious power which is working, pulling everything up, lifting, bringing out possibilities. So there is a grace which is the first truth which he reminds us. And the grace is because there is divine presence in creation. The second source of hope is that there is soul within. That's how Sri Aurobindo says. The only two things that we need to know is there is a soul within and a grace above. So Nirodha asks, really, seriously, only two things we need to know. He says, yes, there is a soul within, there is a grace above. So why the soul? Because soul is that which responds to the grace. If there is grace and there is only mind, vital and body living in ignorance, then there would be little hope because there is no connection from this side. 5G, 6G is all around, but there is nothing to receive. So there is soul within which acts like a receiver. And as Mother says very beautifully, it's the like the wire which connects the divine, which is the generator, to the bodily life, which is the lamp. So this is the wire, soul is the wire. So there is soul within. So there is grace above and there is soul within. This is the source of hope. And then of course, as we go through, many things come. And the third most important is, there is a guidance in life. There is a beautiful letter of Sri Aurobindo, riddle of the world. We don't understand because we have our own idea of how divine should guide. So if all my wishes are fulfilled, there is a divine guidance, grace is wonderful, and I thank. But if my things are not, things don't go according to my plan, well, to start with, as a starter, we were not consulted about the plan, and thankfully so. Because so when things don't go according to our plan, our idea, our conception, our time frame, then we declare there is no guidance. But then that guidance will be a human guidance if it is like that. But the divine guidance doesn't operate like that. It uses our faults as a means to greater rise. He uses errors as steps upon the way. And this is what we are going to read, one of the first passages. So, before this, Shobindo reveals about the way the great gods act. So, again, if you search for gods, you won't get this passage. Again and again, I am saying, please don't use AI engines, and including word apps, to read Shobindo and the mother. Many things will be missed. I'm going to read this passage. It's about the great gods. He doesn't use the word great gods. So if you want to search what these gods are, how they act, it'll take you everywhere. And poor fellow is a faithful fellow. But it doesn't have a mind of its own.
You think to your commentary and we're talking about
that. Okay. So, see how he starts. Page 57. Two are the ends of the mysterious plan. This end we know very well, and below. But he's now talking of the other end. In the wide, signless ether of the self, in the unchanging silence, white and nude, aloof, resplendent like gold, dazzling suns, veiled by the ray no mortal eye can bear, the spirits free and absolute potencies burn in the solitude of the thoughts of God. Now, what are these absolute potencies? These are the great powers which govern the world. How do they act? Little description. A rapture and a radiance and a hush delivered from the approach of wounded hearts, denied to the idea that looks at grief, remote from the force that cries out in its pain, in its inalienable bliss they live. Who are they? It's not mentioned. Spirit, signless, potencies, absolute. It's all about the great gods, the greatest powers of the divine. And then he says very beautifully, calm, they repose on the eternal will. Only his law they count and him obey. So can we please them? By putting so many rupees, bribing God, that's how it all starts, you know. He will listen to me now. Imagine what a difficult time God has, Sankat Mochan Mandir, you know. Everybody goes and prays. Now imagine in a selection where only one will get selected. Everybody has gone. So on what basis God should give us? On the basis of who has given more money or who has given more effort? Neither of them count. Something else comes, which is very difficult to understand and explain. And we can't even say this is better and that is worse. So, implacable in their timeless purity, all barter or bribe of worship they refuse. Unmoved by cry of revolt and ignorant prayer. Oh, I don't believe in you. You'll say, okay. Fine. No problem. Oh, I'll make a temple in your name. Do me some favors. No, I don't act according to that. Just imagine what power they. They reckon not our virtue and our sin. Then we'll say, I am a very virtuous man, you know. I have invested my money in a lot of philanthropic activities. This is a totally different criteria. They reckon not our virtue or our vice. Oh, he is a sinner. Yes, I know. I love making an anand out of Angulimal, turning a Ratnakar into Valmiki. All your ideas of good and bad dashed to the ground. Why does he do it? मूरख मूरख राज करत हैं पंडित फरत फिरत भिखारी. Why does he do this? So he says, they hold, they bend not to the voices that implore, they hold no traffic with error and its rain. They are guardians of the silence of the truth. This is how they act. When you read it, all our conceptions, I'll go, I'll do this puja, I'll do this homam, I'll do this, and the gods will be pleased. If they are like that, they were worse than humans. We don't realize. What have we made them? If actually they can be start acting according to, you know, if Shani Devta can be pleased, then he's no more a god of justice. He's supposed to be a god of justice. No, he is the son of Surya. Before you can reach Surya, you have to pass through. After Shaniwar comes Ravivar. Shani is, he'll make sure, you know, all things are settled. Your scores are settled. That's his job description. Now you say, I'll please him by putting oil and, you know, he'll be very happy and he'll... Okay, you may put oil. Doesn't matter. Rahu Kalam, oh, I'll please him. There is a reason this cosmos is built with, not with random bricks of chance. This is a wonderful mechanism and machinery and super machinery and architects of this world who have not, they have not made it just like human conceptions of things. So they don't act according to that. So naturally, when we read all this, we say, sir, are we then caught in a game of the gods like football? What about us? They will act according to their own. Of course, there are some gods you can please and they create more chaos in the play. Mother speaks of this. She says, I don't do that kind of miracle. Why? She says, yes, there are miracles which the vital gods do, but because they don't take the total picture into consideration, they create more confusion. It's very simple. I can put it like that. See, you have to pay, let's say, your toll at the gate. Now, imagine you skip 5 gates. What happens? Now you think, I have saved. Now suddenly you will get a bill. That ticket will be 5 plus the... So you can't escape that, you know, because that's how it operates. So you think, so the vital gods will do apparently things for you which seem like miracles. But mother says, I don't do that. Of course, she would do that also if necessary, but not the way of the vital gods. Because they create a disturbance in this way of working. And ultimately, you have to go through certain things because they are needed for your evolutionary journey. And that's why people find it so disconcerting. So then, is there anything with us, sir? Are we left alone? So he reminds us, alive in a dead, rotating universe. Oh, before that. Yet a spiritual secret aid is there. There is a help. Yes, they have their work. They won't act according to our button bribe. But still there is a secret aid. Alive in a dead rotating universe, we whirl not here upon a casual globe. Abandoned to a task beyond our force, even through the tangled anarchy called fate. And through the bitterness of death and fall, an outstretched hand is felt upon our lives. So you see, this is the difference. So often when we talk of time, no, we talk of time as a very linear thing. We talk of time only on one plane. But if we understand that there are several time-space loops through which creation passes, now you are caught in this loop. Now in this loop, there are managers. They can't change things. There'll be chaos in the traffic. But there is the master of time. Mahakal, as he said. He can put you in another loop. So things change. You go fast. You go So circumstances change. Situations change. What he has done is put you in another loop. But if you pray to these people who are the guardians, they'll say, sir, we can't help it. We have to act, otherwise there will be chaos. So this is how we have to understand the spiritual aid. That's how the grace can completely annul karma. People try the other way. Sometime back, just few days back, somebody insisted, you know, writing a question. No, no, we have to go through these, you know, ritual pleasing of the gods and all this. Everybody is not so developed as to, you know, contact Mother and Sri Aurobindo. While I understand they are the highest, yet, you know, you have to do these rituals for these normal things. I said, do you know they are the easiest to contact? What can be easiest than the Supreme who is within you? Easiest. And what does he demand? Nothing. Mother says just an aspiration and faith. But that seems too easy for us. So when people used to come earlier in the ashram, and I have gone through that process. So whenever you ask her, Mataji ka naam lo, take mother's name. So you feel there has to be something more. He's, you know, some meditation technique, something they must. Nana, Mataji ka naam lo. Now after so many years, you discover, yes, that is it. That is it. Mataji ka naam lo. I mean, he is so close to us. That's how Sri Aurobindo says in Who. He is close to our hearts, had we vision to see. We are lost in the pride and the pomp of our passions. We are bound by our thoughts, where we hold ourselves free. So this is our problem. But there is a need. And what does it do? It is near us in unnumbered bodies and births. In its unshaken grasp, it keeps for us safe the one inevitable supreme result. No will can take away and no doom change. Thus shall it be. So that's the ultimate destiny. Destiny, I find this word very interesting. I connect it like that. Destiny is destination. Destiny is not events. You want to go to Pondicherry, that's your destiny. I'm giving it just as an example. To go to the ashram. Your destiny is now sealed. How you will go? Whether you take this flight, you'll take Lufthansa, you'll take this Air India, you'll take another airline. You may like to spend some days at your relative's place. You may say, okay, next holiday. That's okay. So you'll have the event circumstances based on that. But destiny is something which has been decided that you will land up. If nothing else, you can go happily or you'll go crying. But you will land up there. So this is how destiny works. And then comes these master words. One who has shaped this world is ever its lord. All others we say heads of state. They are instruments, not even instruments. You know, there is a story of Rishi Mandavya, and that is a consciousness in which we must rise. So Rishi Mandavya is given, this is a long story, but anyways, to cut it short, one day the king punishes him to be on a bed of nails, which means death. It's a decent way of saying you die whole night. Because mistakenly he has been mistaken for a thief. And people don't know that he is a sage. But the king knows. But they don't go to the king. They say, we have caught the thief. But he was never a thief. The thief was, while running, has left the ornaments. So he says, give him the usual punishment. Why are you disturbing me at night? So they sent him in the morning. When they come, he is all awake, alert. He's sitting on that bed of nails. Nothing has happened. So they tell the king, this is something very mysterious. So the king comes running, recognizes him, falls at his feet. So Mandeva says, who are you? He says, I am the king. He says, so what? He says, I am the one who sent you for this punishment. He says, who, you? You think you have the power to send me to punishment? No, no, sir, I gave the order. He says, I am not talking about who gave the orders and who put me there. Sir, where are you going? I am going to the Lord of Destiny. Kala, time, to ask why I had to go through this. He says, who are you? You are a menial. So look at the whole landscape, the whole understanding changes. So that's where he says that one who has shaped this world is ever its Lord. All this, only he can tell us, only he can solve these problems. I remember, and I can't, you know, several times I may have quoted, but one of the, when I went to the ashram, very new, And after some time, you know, one of my friends asked me, what do you do? You know, Odisha, they don't, have not read much, not, it's 9th, 10th, so they can't spell the word psychiatrist, you know. Even I find it difficult, okay. So, psychiatrist. Kya karna hota hai? What do you have to do? I see, when people have problems, then I take care of them. He says, but why do people come to you? I said, no, I said, you know, when people have a problem, they come to me. He said, no, I understand, but why they come to you? This is crazy. My friend is discrediting me completely. Total discredit. So I said, see, I mean, that's my job description. I have specialized in psychiatry. It's an MD. I understood that the person is not able to understand. So he says, okay. But then, you know, why do they come to you? I said, what do you mean? He said, they can go to Ma. They can go to Ma. I said, ah, this is so beautiful. Now I tell people, go to Ma. Made my job so much simpler. And whatever I have to write or say will be what she wants me to write or say. There is no format actually, that this method or that method. Let her speak what she has to speak. Now you see, it can be so simple. One who has made this world is ever its Lord. Our errors are his steps upon the way. We say, by mistake, yeah, I know. I let you stumble. This is a letter of Sri Aurobindo. That he is always holding our hand, and if he lets us stumble, it is only so that we may learn to walk better. He lets us stumble. Just imagine. So there is no place for guilt and all this in yoga. Guilt, shame. He is the one who is carrying us. He works through the fierce vicissitudes of our lives. It's not like, okay, now we'll sit and meditate. God will be there. You'll say, boring people. Every day they do this ritual of meditation. But nothing inside. And when you are laboring, when your flight is delayed, when your luggage is lost, you're remembering, doing nam jap. Ma. Yeah, I know. You mean it. So, he works through the fierce vicissitude. I have seen people, when they go through crisis, I have seen. The way they intensely call God and they progress. So, I don't tell them that time. After some time, I tell them, have you noticed one thing? He said, what? You know how much progress, how much you have remembered God. So, he said, yeah, that is true. You know? He works through the fierce vicissitude. I said, for this only it was worth it. Forget about all else. He works through the fierce vicissitudes of our lives. He works through the hard breath of battle and toil. He works through our sins, our sorrows and our tears. We see a man sinning. We don't see what's going on inside him. Probably he's feeling, how stupid of me. We see a man, virtuous man. We don't see what is going on inside him. Probably he's thinking, ah, I am a very good man, very virtuous man. That's why moralist people are so difficult to turn to God. Because they live in a kind of self-conceited sense that I am good. So if you are good, you have stopped progressing. You have reached the ceiling. You are supposed to be good and you are good. But poor fellow who keeps slipping, says, I know I am not that good as the world. Maybe, you know, there is hope for me. Oh Lord, you can do something. And the divine sees that. He works through our sins, our sorrows and our tears. So what should we do then? Basically, he is saying there is a divine guidance in life. Behind all the anomalies, that's what is the crux of riddle of the world. Whatever the appearance, we must bear. Bear at last, thou shalt find thy road to bliss. Whatever the appearance we must bear, whatever our strong ills and present fate, he is not denying, there would be very difficult moments. When nothing we can see but drift and bail, a mighty guidance leads us still through all. His knowledge overrules our nescience. We don't know. He knows that we don't know. That's where I'm saying we take ourselves too seriously. We don't know. That's a fact. And if a person acknowledges, he opens doors to knowledge. The big problem, and that's why the problem of people who are trapped in systems, philosophical things, because they believe that they know, because, you know, you have read books, so you're supposed to know. But no, that's not how knowledge comes. But when there is humility, I don't know, then knowledge will come when it's necessary. But in any case, there is a knowledge behind everything, and it overrules our nescience. So his knowledge overrules, because we do many things we really don't know. But there is a greater knowledge which is behind life. His knowledge overrules our nescience. A mighty guidance leads us still through all. After we have served this great divided world, God's bliss and oneness are our inborn right. Purna Swaraj, Hamara Adhikar hai, Janam Siddha Adhikar hai. But there is a condition. You can't run away from life. You can't say, I am just searching my soul or self and I am doing nothing. That, incidentally, yes, there are some people who do it, like Sanya. It's very difficult. Decades. Sri Raman Maharshi, you see, 17 years. That kind of thing if you want to do. But there is the easier way, simpler way, the natural way, the organic way, the way of the Gita. After we have served this great divided world, God's bliss and oneness are our inborn right. A date is fixed in the calendar of the unknown, an anniversary of our birth sublime. Our soul shall justify its checkered walk. All shall come near that now is not or far. And then he completes that, you know, it starts with ether, a signless self. And then he completes by saying, these calm and distant might shall act at last. Right now we don't understand the ways of divine, the ways of the gods. But a time comes when we have done it, then we understand. Because we reach that point. Now we understand, yes. You are the Lord. So this is how he describes. So this is one of those wonderful passages giving us a secret. Then another wonderful. So people speak about oneness is true. But practically, soul and nature, that distinction for yoga, it's very important. What is the distinction? The same one in its static poise, self-absorbed. That's why often people say the difference between bliss and delight, or even more, between delight and love. So when it is self-absorbed ecstasy, it is bliss of oneness. The moment it leans out and enters the manifold delight of creation, we see love is born. Love is that, because it connects everything. It's the same truth. So when that is absorbed within itself, the Purusha, the Chaitya Purusha, that is the self or the soul. But when it flows into creation, there is Gati, there is the nature. And there are several examples. One of them is famous, Shiva as Gangadhara. Is Ganga separate from Shiva? People may say yes, but it comes from there. It has that purifying power. Yes, in Shiva, it is self-absorbed. But when it flows from him and washes the, brings the light and power of the coasts of heaven onto earth. Same truth into mountains and the rivers. Himalaya flows into Ganga. You can't go to Himalayas, very difficult. Climb on the peaks, Gomukh, it's very refreshing, it can, but it's very difficult. So, the heart of Himalaya flows as Ganga. It comes to you, right next to you. This is what Purusha and Prakriti is. And as it, the Prakriti, as it moves further and further, it becomes dirty, Ganga Sagar, if you go there. But still it contains something of that truth. So, always there will be a double nature. One, the nature of ignorance, which is full of dirt, and the other, which is concealed within. So Ganga, even in Ganga Sagar, where it's meeting the sea and is extremely dirty, I mean, outwardly, still people take a dip that, oh, I'll get moksha. You know, it contains something of that purifying power within it. So, same thing is true of soul and nature. But in reality, there is the one. See, he is bridging the big chasm that Sankhya-based philosophies have brought. Sankhya always create distinction between Purusha and Prakriti. And lot of, so that's how the world becomes Maya and Brahman as real. Now, Sri Aurobindo has his own unique way of bridging this. His style of is so good, beautiful. He says, he is the maker and the world he made. He is the vision and he is the seer. So if you want to run away from the world, you are actually running away also from God, the dynamic side of the divine. There is a very nice movie, old movie, Chitralekha, based on Bhagwati Charan Varma's novel. And there is a sannyasi who comes, and there is a courtesan who is dancing, and he closes his eyes, wants to go away, you know. So she sings a song. He says, Sansar se bhage firte ho, Bhagwan ko tum kya paoge? Running away from his creation, how are you going to find God? Of course, we can engage with this creation ignorantly, foolishly, stupidly, egoistically, that's understood. But if we engage with creation in the true way, right way, fulfilling the divine will in creation, then it's much easier, much faster. That's what Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, that there is a way of the tapasvi who goes, pantha duratya. And this is the way of surrender, which is a delightful way, where you are going through work and every activity, but you are connected with the divine. You have to make a choice. So, he is the vision and he is the seer. He is himself, the actor and the act. So then who are we? He wearing a mask. Mother gave this definition to someone. Several definitions when she was asked, different context. Who is divine? Nay, who am I? Now you see, who am I? The books, philosophy is written on that. See, look at how mother says to this child. Mother, who am I? Says, the divine in disguise. Just imagine. It's much more complete than Soham Asmi. Soham Asmi can be very confusing. Yes, we are that, but it's not enough to know that. We are that which is wearing this disguise. Why? That, of course, in several places he explains. So, he is himself the actor and the act. The problem of believing this or having faith in this is that we lose our self-importance. Everywhere we believed, I am the doer. I have done this. He is himself the actor and the act. Now it takes the wind off our ego. He is himself the knower and the known. He is himself the dreamer and the dream. There are two. He is not denying that there is Purusha and Prakriti, but they are one reality with two modes. There is a very interesting story about it when mother was asked, or she was asked by someone, the difference between Purusha and Prakriti. She said, Nalini will tell. She said, I don't know, Nalini will tell you. So people tell, Nalini, mother, if you say you don't know, I am completely ignorant. She is smart way of, testing little, and only is he proud, he'll start, mother, actually in this philosophy, that philosophy. Mother says he doesn't know, I am totally ignorant. Then mother reveals. See, that's a very good story. Don't try to become knowledgeable in front of God, huh? Then you will be limited by your knowledge. Imagine Nalini that told Purusha and Prakriti, Sankhya philosophy. The world would have been deprived of what she says next. What she says next is they are one reality, but they are two modes of one truth. This is exactly what Sri Aurobindo is revealing to us. What is he revealing? There are two who are one and play in many worlds. In knowledge and ignorance they have spoken and met. See, Isha Upanishad we have read. Look at how beautifully he presents. He speaks about in Isha Upanishad about Vidya Avidya. Vidyancha Avidyancha Yasta Dvedo Bhayam Saha. Other is verily that which comes through ignorance, other that comes through knowledge. Avidyancha Mrityum Tirtva Vidyancha Amritam Ashnute. both have their place. We have to go through the schooling of ignorance. And then we graduate into the school of knowledge. There is no shortcut. But when we go through the knowledge of school of ignorance, we must know that there is a higher grade waiting for us. This not all. And the way we, the attitude with which we go through it, we will quickly be taken into the school of knowledge. School of ignorance is made up of pain, suffering, thodi khushi, thoda gham, drama of suffering and happiness and sorrow. School of knowledge is made up of joy to greater joy. This is the difference. So light to greater light. So they are knowledge and ignorance. And light and darkness are their eyes interchange. Our pleasures and pain are their wrestle and embrace. When Purusha and Prakriti, they grow one. When Prakriti dances according to the will of the Purusha. It's one reality, but for practical we have to understand. Then there is joy. When its steps are chaotic, that's to a practically it means when our will is not attuned to the divine will. We are driven by our own ambition, our own desires. Then the play is chaotic. But that becomes a wrestle because divine has to try to turn us in the right direction, but it takes the form of a wrestle. But equally, there is, can be an embrace of the divine. So, we all know that both ways the ego will go. If you embrace the divine either through wrestle or in love, your ego is going to go away. But one is a happy way of losing the ego, other is a painful way of losing the ego. So, the universe is an endless masquerade. For nothing here is utterly what it seems. It is a dream fact vision of a truth, which but for the dream would not be wholly true. A phenomenon stands out significant against dim backgrounds of eternity. We accept its face and pass by all it means. A part is seen. We take it for the whole. So we normally we say part and the whole, we look again linearly. But part and whole connects with the depths. That's why Shobindu says you cannot understand water unless you understand God. Know God. And it's true of everything. And so true, because we can say what is water constituted of, hydrogen, oxygen. But why is it that this combination gives the properties and qualities that we know as water? Again, you can understand the process. That's where the research today probably, you know, stands. But still, that's a process. What is that? That's where supermind comes, the real idea that determines things will move in a certain direction, regardless. So that's why surrender and acceptance, you know, bring that joy in life, because you understand that, well, there is a divine intention carrying us that makes life effortless. That's the joy of effortlessness. You put the effort, but you know that basically there is something greater which is carrying me, and the effort should be not so much on what I am doing, but why I am doing. If it is aligned with the divine will, success and failure are not relevant. Now you see, when we do that way, life becomes effortless, because your focus is on tuning to the divine will and your action. In the other one, you're trying to control the result, trying to, you know, things should happen this way, that way. So what happens in the process? We don't know. Divine intent, maybe whole life you try. They used to say, Madras University, apply, no reply. Delhi University, today apply, yesterday reply. It was a way of saying both ways. So you apply, no reply. You may do. So results, the problem of result-driven, result-oriented life is this. It may work out, it may not work out. If it works out, you say God's grace. If it doesn't work out, you say God is for being cruel, or you don't want to say that, so you say my karma. At the end, you blame yourself or God. Only two fellows you can blame. Or if you are a materialist, you will blame others. It's not me. Somebody else is always responsible. But that's not. We can either align. When we align our whole, that's why peace, all this is important. Because in peace and silence, the eternal acts, and we can tune ourselves. Now, when we are tuned to the divine will, we have to act in tune with that. Whatever way we receive it, we may not completely, that's okay. We have tried, we act. That's our job description, period. Result is not our job description. It's somebody else's. But when we are driven by the result, then we start tweaking all this. We feel strained, we struggle, we suffer. And of course, time to time we feel happy also when things work out. Ah, I put in effort and see, this is what happened. Effort we have to do. Either way, you can't escape the law of effort. But one is to achieve a result, the other is to be tuned to that divine will. So that's what he's reminding us. Thus they have made their play with us for roles. Author and actor with himself as scene. He moves there as the soul, as nature she. So we are playing role, and we must remember that. Play the role well. Role may be of any kind. You know that one of my favorite poems, Shurbindo's Baji Prabhu. So, you know, Baji Prabhu is the great Maratha warrior. And he has been given an impossible task, or rather he takes that task of guarding a pass, Rangana Pass probably, with 20,000 army of Afghans, Mughals, Pathans and Rajputs against some 50 Maratha soldiers. Near impossible. He knows he is going to die. And so Tanaji, who leaves him there and is going to see, calls Shivaji with the artillery. So he says, I know, I'll build a pyre for you. I know what you have chosen, I know. It's martyrdom, harakiri. So when I come, I'll make sure I build a very great pyre for you, as Deccan has never seen. He said, oh, what? You think I'm this 5'6" man? Come on, you can't build a pyre for me. He says, yes, I know that I'm going. We will meet. Then Tanaji says, okay, I've understood. My mistake. You're not this body, I know. Okay, then after our deeds are finished, I will come and meet you. We'll embrace each other and take joy in how we lived. What a beautiful thing. And Tanaji also died guarding that other path. Movie was made on Tanaji's story. So this is how they lived, these great ones, that they are playing a role. Success or failure is not important as long as you are playing it well. Then he speaks about that this whole thing, Purusha and Prakriti, in great detail, that the three poises of Purusha and Prakriti. First, he is completely submerged with Prakriti. So, you know, the perfect way to, you know, people try the wrong way of man and a woman. They want to control. Don't do that. First, allow yourself to be controlled. It may sound very paradoxical, but it is Purusha and Prakriti. Give her the freedom. Then after some time, she says, this is a nice guy. And there will come a time when she will give completely surrender. This is Vashavdatta, Shivna's play. I'm not saying in lighter mood. Mankind, when it started thinking, mankind, I'm the one. You know, they tried it the wrong way. And you know, it won't work beyond a point. How nature works. The Purusha says, Prakriti, you carry me. And wherever Prakriti goes in first stages of evolution, Purusha goes driven. He is bound to Prakriti, chained, enslaved. So after some time he says, this is okay. Then it becomes peer and mate. Then it says, delivers the Purusha out of itself. It's very interesting. The whole play is like that, if you look at it. So he describes that, and then he says, another great discovery. I think this one line, if you remember, all our life, all fear will vanish forever. And I'm saying this in real earnest. All of us have faced, I'm sure, situations. I have faced my own situation, which included, you know, twice encountering once, you wouldn't say outwardly terrorist, but terrorist sympathizer who comes and threatens. And the other time, a group of, you know, people who would, you know, are there to just kill you and attack you. But what would save? So these are things we had learned as a child, we have forgotten, unfortunately. So as children, we had learned, you know, if you are going on the road and suddenly you encounter Jai Hanuman Gyan Gun Sagar, Bhut Bishach Nikat Nahi Aave Ma. You remember Hanuman, you know, you'll be safe. Now see how beautifully Sri Aurobindo is describing the master of existence lurks in us. I feel after this to feel fear is absurdity. Even if death is facing, what is there? He is there. The master of existence lurks in us and plays at hide and seek with his own force. He sometimes reveals, sometimes hides. In nature's instruments loiter secret God. That's why in the Gita we have these three great secrets. Sri Krishna speaks of three great secrets. And all the three we'll find it here. So first secret is that this whole creation that we see, you know, it is the divine who has become all this. The whole Vibhuti Yoga. He says that I am going to tell you a great secret, Arjun, because you are dear to me. So that is one secret. This whole universe is nothing else but the divine who has become this. Second, he is hidden inside and we can discover him. Second great secret. And third is that he takes a human body as an avatar. Now you see this entire three great secrets of the Gita, Sri Aurobindo describes in one quarter page. On page 66 and 67. See, that's the problem. When people compare Gita and all this, it's there. But when you read through Savitri, it connects. But if you say, has he written here as from the Gita? No, obviously not. Krishna will not repeat himself. He will write in a new way. It'll be very boring if Sri Krishna has to come again, speak in Sanskrit, wear a dhoti, uses Sudarshan Chakra. Why should he do it? He will use a pen which is doing the same work, destroying darkness. That's what Sudarshan Chakra does. So he is using a pen. How does he reveal? First great secret, the master of existence lurks in us and plays at hide and seek with his own force. In nature's instrument loiters secret God. The immanent lives in man as in his house. If divine is living within us, what is there to fear? I mean, it's so absurd. That's why I often say people speak of the Gita, they remember the Gita, they recite the Gita. Then why are you afraid? So often people even talk about now, you know, changing demographics and all this. I said, see, this is, you get converted, you are Hindu and Muslim, it is irrelevant. If you really trust this word, let's say as a follower of Sanatana Dharma, that well, the divine dwells within me. One is equal to 1 lakh. That's what the teaching of even the great gurus. What did they say? He says one Sikh is a true devotee, is equal to sava lakh, which is 1,25,000 others. Why? Because he has discovered the divine presence within. So the immanent lives in man as in his own house. He has made the universe his pastimes field, a vast gymnasium of his works of might. All life's difficulties are challenges to grow. Like, you know, it's a crossword puzzle. And see how engaging a crossword puzzle can be. You try one way, you don't get it, you try another way. But at the end, you are growing through all this. Take life as a crossword puzzle. And that makes it very fascinating. It's a play. That's what is meant by the play. But again, if we take it too seriously, oh, if I can't solve it right now in this much time, what is going to happen? No, you are growing constantly. Your effort to solve the puzzle is helping you to grow. So this is the first truth. The second is the absolute, the perfect, the alone, has called out of the silence his mute force. The absolute, the perfect, the alone has entered with his silence into space. He has fashioned these countless persons of oneself. He lives in all who lived in his vast alone. Space is himself and time is only he. Second secret. The absolute, the perfect, the immune, one who is in us as our secret self, our mask of imperfection, has assumed. He has made this tenement of flesh his own. He who dwells within us stands in the forefront, assuming the same mask. He looks human. So that's the difference. The avatar is a dual phenomena, outwardly human, but inwardly. You can apply it in the Vedantic sense. See, this is what, when Sri Ramakrishna was asked, are you an avatar? He says, yes, but not in the Vedantic sense. So Vedantic sense is this. In Vedantic sense, all of us are that who have worn this mask. But in the sense, the Gita also uses in the dual sense. The greatest secret, the supreme secret. At the end it discloses the supreme word of the Gita. So when he talks about the avatar and talks about the surrender, so that secret he reveals. He has made this tenement of flesh his own, his image in the human measure cast, that to his divine measure we might rise. Then in a figure of divinity, the Maker shall recast us and impose a plan of Godhead on the mortal's mold. So why he has become human? So that human can become the divine. But we end up only putting the divine on somewhere, on a seat or a pedestal, doing some outer puja, worship. So, you know, we're talking about Ram Mandir. All mandirs, we do that, but the real mandir which is inside us. And what is that teaching? Become like, that's all. What is the teaching of Lord Rama? Become like me, at least little bit like me. What is the teaching of Krishna? Become like me. In fact, he says in so many words, how to become like me? He says, man bana bhava mad bhakta madhyaji ma namaskaru. Become my minded, my lover, my devotee, pay obeisance. So basically you will become like him. That's what he wants. And the same applies to Mother and Sri Aurobindo. This transfiguration is earth's due to heaven. A mutual debt binds man to the supreme. His nature we must put on as he put ours. Now comes a very powerful line. We are sons of God and must be even as he. This idea, there is a Sri Aurobindo Upanishad. So he says, what is ignorance? He says, ignorance is this idea, I am weak, I am useless, I am good for nothing. This is ignorance. And what is knowledge? I am son of God. Okay, daughter of God, fine. Son is a figurative way of saying. We are sons of God. Imagine, can one feel ever any fear in front of the most impossible situations? Somebody was caught in Russia. Two of our ashram fellows. I had sponsored the trip. So myself and Kavita were let go through, and you know, they were taken to the side, and we are having what has happened, you know, what because they don't know. One of them doesn't even know English. What's going to happen? What do you do when nothing? Ma. So finally, anyway, after a little long story short, they came. So I asked them, what happened? Nothing. He said, nothing means what? Nothing. They were asking some questions. So we didn't understand their language. They didn't understand our language. Literal reply. That's why they came to us. So they knew our name. So he said, he interrogated me and they said, okay. So anyways, that's a very funny story. So I said, but didn't you feel afraid? He said, why? I said, you know, they could have sent you back to India. He said, okay, we would have gone back. I said, this is wonderful. They have gone back. I said, this is lovely attitude. says, but what were you doing during that time sitting there? Nothing. We were just maa ko dak rahe the. Maa ke dakuchi. Odia fellow. Dakuchi. I was calling mother. Not with the idea that, you know, oh, let me be free. Let me. But just calling mother. Ma. Not that, you know, oh, I'm in a tension. Something should take. Nothing. So I said, if they would have sent you, that would have been okay. You sent. Sent. Now imagine. You come all the way to Russia, taken visa. If you go back, you go back. Now this is how, you know, many times I say these stories because people have this idea about ashram, seeing some people and, you know, they meet only some of those who are so-called prominent. The average person, I don't know, even working in the dining room and all, there is so much that has gone inside them. One feels so humbled by the attitude. So this is one of them. We are sons of God and must be even as He, His human portion, we must grow divine. Our life is a paradox. We all know that. But where is the key? Our life is a paradox with God for key. And then finally, then he keeps describing, but meanwhile everything is hidden, nothing is known. And then comes the last part which we'll read. He describes. Now, see, we have heard the analogy of Sri Krishna in the Gitas, and the Upanishad also speaks of the analogy of the chariot. Okay, so there is the ratha, the body of the chariot is the human body. The horses are the senses which are drawing you all the time. So the mind is the rein which must rein the senses. And who is holding the senses is buddhi, and the person who is actually traveling is the Rathi, which is the Atma, and beyond that is the Great Self, and beyond the Great Self is that. So that's the whole way. Now, you see, this is beautiful, but where is the chariot moving? It's moving on ground. But in real time, our chariot of life is moving itself on things which are mobile. There is, of course, the stable ground below. Sri Aurobindo gives us a perfect image. This is the sailor on the flow of time. So it's an interactive journey. It's not just that, you know, you have all these sounds, very neat picture. So if I have the buddhi holding the reins and surrender, everything goes smoothly. No, time will bring its waves. Sometimes you will rise up, sometimes it will fall. But through the rise and the fall, you will move forward. Because there is the only way the waves will go. You will rise. Very nice, you're feeling happy. Then tumbling down. What is that called? They have these water parks, no? They do all this. Yeah. Different, but yeah, they make you go like this and they make you come down like this. Roller coaster ride. But this roller coaster ride or any, ultimately, you're moving forward. That's the beauty of it. This is the sailor. That's what we read in the beginning also. This is the sailor on the flow of time. This is world matter's slow discoverer. You see now, you know, on the ocean, and it's directly Rig Veda image that there are two oceans, an ocean below and an ocean above. And on this the sailor is going, and as he goes from shore to shore, he discovers. So initially he describes that we don't want to venture very far. So he said, so it goes from one little coast to another. So Chennai to Pondicherry or Chennai to Vishakhapatnam. He, in a petty coastal traffic, plies. So this is the first stage of human evolution. And I use the word mohalla mentality. I don't know whether now people may not remember. There used to be mohallas. He would know. Mohallas were like, you know, like lanes in which people live. So there was a time when your lane was your world. So people, you know, you have to talk, you have to gossip. Now because you don't know what's happening in the president of America and what's happening to the president or prime minister of India, so you gossip about somebody's daughter-in-law, somebody's... Oh, you know, they are talking to each other. There's some affair going on. Because, you know, that's your world. Or when you suddenly hear that lunar, some Apollo has gone on moon. So there is a debate and discussion. How can it be? Moon is on Shiva's head, Chandrasekhara. How can Apollo go on moon? This is fake. Much before, you know, people started saying it is fake. No, it's not fake. But I'm just saying, we had our own logic that it is fake. It was not based on any photographic evidence. It was based on scriptural evidence. Arey bhai, that moon is different and this is a different physical manifestation. So anyways, so in the beginning, man starts, he's only Deha Chinmaya. That's what was called in the ancient, now the Chaturvarna, Shudra. Shudra for him, physical world is all that he knows. All that he inhabits is the physical world. All that he understands is the physical world. All that he can connect through is the physical world. So that is the first stage of evolution. Then after some time, after a little bit travel here and forth, even society goes from one stage to another. So it says, you know, because now the vital comes. So vital wants to expand. He says, okay, I'm going from, like in olden times, there used to be Mela. So people would make toys in nearby villages, come to one of the central places and they would sell the toys. Now they realize that, you know, these toys, if I take to big cities, maybe I'll get more money. So the spirit of adventure, the Vaishya starts by expanding his zone, his horizons, and goes far and wide. And there is an exchange which starts, a commerce, another, through which a lot of learning takes place, through which a lot of mixing takes place. A lot of empires have been thrown down because of, you know, this kind of interchange we started. Read about, you know, Prithviraj Chauhan. What happened to him? So it was a person who was flying from the capital of Prithviraj Chauhan and that whole, you know, kingdom to the Mughal Sultanate. And he became the mediator that, sir, there is a problem there. There is a man, he can be sold. So that's out. So the business changed into another business, East India Company. So he tries all these adventures. But that's not enough. In the third stage, he says, this interchange is okay. Now I want to conquer. So that's the Kshatriya aspect of mankind, where he wants to conquer. This conquest can go on. Conquest not just by sword, but the conquest of a idea, a thought, which must, you know, govern the whole world. Then he says, all this I've been doing, I want to look beyond all this arc. Is there something still greater? The seeking for wisdom and knowledge, and that was the Brahmanatva. It exists in all societies forever. There are these gradations of humanity, one which is completely tied to physical matter, and that is the only reality. Another which ventures into something greater. Third which the conqueror, the politician, the statesman, the administrator, the warrior. Always you will have this. And the fourth, the seeker after knowledge, true knowledge. And then beyond this is the spiritual person. You have to go through all these stages before one. So that whole journey he describes very beautifully. I just read a few lines here and there. This is world matter's slow discoverer who launched into this small corporeal birth has learnt his craft in tiny bays of self, but dares at last unplumbed infinitudes, a voyager upon eternity's seas. So he summarizes it. Then he describes. Behold, in his world adventure's crude initial start, behold him ignorant of his Godhead's force, timid initiate of its vast design. That's how it starts. God is within you, you don't know. See, that's how societies were also organized. This is the priest. He will tell you about God. You can't. You cannot, you know, because you cannot connect. And he believed it because, you know, he is a timid initiate. He doesn't know. He may commit a great sin if he, you know, directly does the mantra. You know the story of that Madhavacharya probably. That his guru tells him that, I am telling you a mantra, don't tell it. Don't tell it to everybody because you will go to hell. So he takes the mantra from the guru, goes. And then he calls everybody from the village and tells, I have got something from my guru. It's such a powerful mantra. It can liberate you. So So the guru comes, my name may be mistaken, it may be Madhavacharya, maybe Vallabhacharya, Ramanuj, thank you for connecting. Yes, I knew somebody would be there. Yeah, not the Ramanujam of Ramanujacharya, let me then. So Ramanujacharya, that's right. So everybody comes and says, then his guru comes and says, see, you have done this, now you will suffer in hell. He says, I don't mind. I don't mind as long as, you know, he starts a new sampradaya of his own. I don't mind suffering in hell as long as all of them get liberated. See, a new thought comes in, changes the whole idea of, you know, the bhakti which is limited. So this is how the journey starts, but initially timid initiate. You can't tell it. Schools of initiation, secret schools. Now Sri Aurobindo has revealed all the secret. That too. He wrote in English. We can't even say Sanskrit is very difficult. We can't even say I have to first learn Sanskrit. You can't. And people often say, why English? I said, wait, in 20 years, everybody will know English. One good thing that the Britishers did, 100 bad things. One good thing was that English was to become the universal language, whether you like it or you don't like it. So by default, now everybody learns. So everybody can read Savitri. So you can't say, you know what, actually I don't know the language. No, sir. That excuse will not suffice. Find some other excuse. So this is how, see, the evolution takes place. So he describes this whole evolution very beautifully. And then he takes us toward the end. That at the end, after all this, there comes a time when Earth's borders recede and the terrestrial air hangs round him, no longer its translucent veil. He has crossed the limit of mortal thought and hope. He has reached the world's end and stares beyond. So this is where Mother says true spiritual conversion. She says, as long as you believe that what you see, hear, taste, touch is true, you are not ready for spiritual life, very categorically. When you understand the limitations of these very things which you thought are instruments of knowledge, they give you something, no doubt. Then you are ready for the spiritual life. And Sri Ramakrishna told this in a very interesting way. He says there is hope for two kinds of people. One, unlettered peasant. He doesn't say transformation, hoga, ni hoga. He says, lotus comes out of mud, transformation is going to be. He has got a direct intuitive connection. You ask him the logic, he says, every day I see it. Lotus emerges out of mud. He'll explain everything on the basis of these images. Chick coming out of the egg, it takes time. You tell him that, you know, oh, I've been doing this practice. He says, yeah, I know, each egg, it'll have its own time. You tell him, you know, I have been like for a long time, nothing has happened inside me. You say, yeah, you know, bamboo, it takes long time to come out, but when it comes out, it grows like anything. And then he'll also tell you that, you know, bamboo was not only used as a lathi. Don't forget, it was used by Krishna as a flute. But only you have to make yourself empty inside. So he'll tell you all the jnana without reading a book, unlettered peasant. Of course, once the intuitive sense opens, because he is bypassing all this analytical reasoning. And the second, he says, for the man who has learnt all the scriptures and everything and yet realizes the limitations. They don't answer everything. If they answer everything, then there is no need. Your seeking is finished. One of the problems of scriptural masteries. That's why Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo reminds us, Shabda Brahmati Vartate, go beyond the scripture written or said. It's good. They have their own place. That's true. But if you think you have all the answers, then you have forgotten to question. So that's why Sri Aurobindo gives us the ultimate, raises the ultimate question. And the gives us the answer. And yet that answer, you have to leave it. That part is there. Otherwise, that answer will be no answer. So, he describes that what happens then. The eyes of mortal body plunge their gaze into eyes that look upon eternity. A greater world, time's traveler must explore. This is what we see from 60s. Lot of things, counterculture, drug movement, because people wanted alternate experience. Why? Because they were sick and tired of a very mechanical world where everything was predictable. So now everything is unpredictable. God's plan. Nobody thought world can be so unpredictable. Because that's how it was. Before 60, everything is predictable. We have machines, everything you'll do. Everything we'll know. We don't need anything for anything. God has to just create some hydrogen molecule or, and then rest is explicable. Now nothing is explicable. After knowing everything, we realize that there is nothing we have known. So that's how he describes. At last, he hears a chanting on the heights and the far peaks, and the unknown grows near. He crosses the boundaries of the unseen and passes over the edge of mortal sight to a new vision of himself and things. What is that new vision? He is a spirit in an unfinished world. So liberating. It's work in progress. So I tell everybody, even ashram when people come and say, we are all work in progress. Hasn't he said man is a transitional being? As long as you see man, it's in transition. Everything is, and it gives hope. It's not finished product. If it's a finished product, it's dead. It's fossilized. Everything is changing constantly, but there is a direction, a purpose, and an eventual goal of the change. That knows him not and cannot know itself. The surface symbol of his goalless quest takes deeper meanings to his inner view. His is a search of darkness for the light, of mortal life for immortality. So it continues, he says, a sailor on the inconscient, fathomless sea, he voyages through the starry world of thought on matter's deck to a spiritual sun. Night of ignorance, but thought tries to light up his way. Follow the North Star. So he tries to be guided by it. That's the only light in ignorance. But later on, when the sun comes up, the supramental, then all this goes into the background. Then the night vanishes. Until then, he is a traveler. Then, very beautiful, last page. Driven by the breath across life's tossing deep, through the thunder's roar and through the windless hush, through fog and mist where nothing more is seen, he carries her sealed orders in his breast. This is not just Prakriti, this is Para Prakriti. Para Prakriti Jiva Bhuta. You see again, what is he describing? Whose sealed order where? Who carries? So in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, Para Prakriti Jiva Bhuta. How does Para Prakriti, the Divine Mother, impel the Jiva? Through the Swabhava, impulsion of the Divine. This Swabhava in the outer nature gets covered by ignorance, ego, desire. So the sealed orders are so beautiful way of presenting that there is an impulsion deep within of the Divine Mother. The true intent in creation, the Divine will pushing us. Late will he know, opening the mystic script. Whether to a blank port in the unseen, he goes, or armed with her fiat, to discover a new mind and body in the city of God. Whether Nirvana is his last stop, abrupt finish to a meaningless creation through which he somehow was trapped, or all the journey had a meaning, it was to discover a new city, a new mind, a new thought, new body in the city of God. So this is where the choice will come. In book 11 we see the soul's choice and the divine consummation. So this is how. So there are these two choices which come. Late will he know that divine will in him is impelling him towards cessation, fine. If somebody seeks for it, it's valid. Shobhinda does not make it invalid. But most souls, terrestrial aim is always for perfection. And that's where he says to discover a new city, new mind and body in the city of God. And enshrine the immortal in his glorious house and make the finite one with infinity. So he travels, and then toward the end he describes, he sails through life and death and other life. How wonderful. We always pick up from where we left. So we don't have to worry. What outer circumstances will be is a different story. But we pick up from where we left. The script is written. Certain challenges we tried to escape, we'll have to face them. So it's not about good and bad, right and wrong. But the journey picks up. Now that doesn't mean that, well, when I left the body, I was middle class fellow in terms of money, I'll be upgraded, I'll become a rich man and then a super rich man. No. And mother was asked about this, about Beethoven. That's the wrong way to look at it. The thing is, will I be connected to the divine? So that's where there is an assurance. So when mother was asked about this, that Beethoven will come back and he will be, what he will be, what music he will compose. He says, why do you think he will compose music? He may come as a poor shoemaker. What? He says, yes, it is approaching the same problem from a different angle. So right from now, everybody should practice seeing God in everyone. Sometimes when I hear this, I don't know which century was Beethoven, but I sometimes wonder whether Abraham Lincoln, you know. You don't know how the destiny operates. He may be born as a chaiwala, but she's not saying, what will the chaiwala become? So destiny operates, but one thing is sure. Where your inner journey took a pause, it'll continue from there. So that's where is the focus. That is for sure. Outer circumstances, whatever is necessary for the progress. So he sails through life and death and other life. He travels on through waking and through sleep. That we have read earlier. Even when we fail to look into our souls, progress is going on constantly, the relentless march of the world, of time. A power is on him from our occult force that ties him to his own creation's fate. And never can the mighty traveler rest, and never can the mystic void cease till the nascent dusk is lifted from man's soul and the morns of God have overtaken his night. You want to have a restful, retired life? Government may grant you. God will not grant you. You have to discover. There is no choice. And the more you delay, the more you'll be pushed. The more you say, okay, we'll keep it, postpone it for another life, you'll say, okay, I'll take you to another life now. There is a pressure, push, and if this push increases. And that's how mother describes that sometimes when we have denied it, so the pressure increases, the circumstances become very, very difficult because we have not taken it. We were given the opportunity and we didn't take it. That's where the circumstances play a role. So they become more and more difficult and pressing. Because when everything, that's how even mystics have written. That sukh mein sumiran jo kare to dukh kahe ka hoye. Dukh mein sumiran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. Jo sukh mein sumiran kare to dukh kahe ka hoye. He says when there is sorrow, we all remember God. We don't remember him when everything is going fine. But he who remembers God when everything is fine, sukh, in happiness, then sorrow will not come. Why? Because sorrow comes to push us towards that. It's very unfortunate. It shouldn't happen. Mother says, divine does not want it. He says, you must understand, divine does not want to spoil your happiness. That's not his job description. But the cosmic forces are being given this role, and if we completely sit like a stubborn block on the way, one day somebody will push, and that push may be a very, very violent push. So that's where we have to remember. As long as nature lasts, he too is there. Then finally, there is a truth to know, a work to do. This is most important to remember, the final take-home point. There is something we are here to know. And whatever we may have studied, learned, read, even in spiritual books, that's not knowledge. So we have to know there is a truth, truth beyond definitions. There is a truth to know, a work to do. Her play is real, a mystery he fulfills. There is a plan in the mother's deep world whim. What a line. Obviously, the hands that sent Jupiter spinning through heaven spends all its cunning to fashion a curl. Looks like whimsical, you know. Ah, let's throw. Oh, is Jupiter okay? So, looks that God is acting on whim. That's because it doesn't go with my idea of what he should do. He has a bad habit of not consulting us. Us, the wise ones. So he says, there is a plan. You have to tune yourself behind her whims. What is lying behind her whims? A purpose in a vast and random game. Random it appears because we don't see the coordinates. So it appears random, but it's not random. There's nothing like random chance that he describes elsewhere in Savitri, but it seems random to our ignorance. This ever she meant since the first dawn of life. This constant will she covered with her sport. This play is describing it as a sport. But what is the purpose behind it? Now he is finally revealing. With the truth light strike earth's massive roots of trance, waking us, waking matter. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Matter wakes up. What is it? Drowsy matter. Doesn't know, obscure, dull matter. I want to chisel you, make you God matter. God, what is God? Let me sleep. He doesn't give up, so... Wake a dumb self in the inconscient depths. The dumb self is the divine hidden in the inconscient. And raise a lost power from its python sleep, what we call as Kundalini Shakti, the divine Shakti, which is hidden, sleeping in inconscient. That's what rises and the world begins to evolve. The evolution process is the raising of the python from its sleep through evolution. That the eyes of the timeless might look out from time and the world manifest the unveiled divine. There is no manifestation without the divine who is manifesting. Otherwise, what is manifesting? So there is the divine. The moment you say, then what is divine doing? It's the Leela. That's the Leela. Really means it's manifestation. So there are three views of the world. One is Maya. Traditional Vedanta view, it's all an illusion. We can talk about illusion in so many ways. Then there is the Leela, it's a play. But what is the purpose of the play? Then there is the manifestation, which is logical. What is hidden inside is manifesting himself. And obviously, if the divine is perfect, manifestation has to arrive at divine perfection. So that's how the logic of supermind goes. For this he left his white infinity and entered into us as the immanent divine, as the psyche. For this he left and laid on the spirit the burden of the flesh. Not so that we escape. This is a job description. And even if you look at, forget about these big terms and your supramental physical transfer. Look at very simply how we use this material frame. How we use the mouth, the eyes. Do they really see the auspicious? That's how it is said, no, in Upanishads. That Bhadram Om Bhadram Karane Vishanyam Deva. You would probably remember the whole. May I hear the auspicious. May I see the auspicious. May I utter the auspicious. Even at the most outer level, are we really doing it? Transformation is ultimate. This is a physical instrument, and there is a reason why the divine has tied us to this, so that this instrument, even little bit, if we can help its upgrading. Do we allow our brain to become grooves for the divine's chariot? That's how Shivindra describes transformation, that these nerves should become a path for thy chariots to flow through, thoughts to flow through. So he says, for this, and laid on the spirit the burden of the flesh, that Godhead's seed might flower in mindless space. That's why we have come here. We have seeded colonies from immortality. We have seeded this place. Why we have seeded? So that this place can become divine. This is our real work, work of works, our true job description behind all the outer things that we do. They're all meant to help us in this discovery and this manifestation. So this is the secret knowledge. I said Savitri is full of mysteries and secrets. Soul of Savitri is all the secrets with which man has grappled, all the mysteries that we have ever wanted to know. Everything is there in Savitri. Creation and the Creator, both are there in Savitri. And of course, we, this world, who are we, why are we, how to move, what is the path, how we can move on the path, what is this world phenomena, what is this creation, material life, material world, living beings, thinking man, where is it going, is there a goal, is there a future? Every question that man can ever raise is there in Savitri. Okay, so.
Anyone wants to ask any question?
Yes, please. Yeah.
My childhood, I heard about the Savitri and in our family, we have worshipped the mother and the Sri Aurobindo. English is never my first language, and even today I fail to interpret even in one sentence from the Savitri. Also, Sanskrit is not my language, so as in this part I am, how can I, without the language, can read through.
Yes, so one thing which I must say, that there have been people who are very good in English, great poets, great thinkers of the, I can name a few. One of them was poet I am forgetting, but definitely Bertrand Russell, that I know. There have been great thinkers, great poets, but who could not understand Savitri. It's because Savitri is not something which has to be understood through language and the mind. But if there is a seeking heart, this is true of all mystic literature, incidentally, that otherwise we'll understand a body of words. So frankly speaking, what you call as your disadvantage is a great advantage. There are people who know the language, who sit with a dictionary by the side of Savitri and try to understand, they understand nothing. As I have said, you know, like, just enjoy the magic. See how poetry works. Poetry doesn't work through the analytical mind. Poetry enters into the inner being. So Sri Aurobindo has given here how to read and how to understand. So he says that what you should do with Savitri is, what is, it's a mantra of transformation. Read, you can read. That part is very evident by the fact that, you know, you can read. It doesn't matter. The problem is what it is meaning. That's okay. Read. And when you read, read slowly. And after some time, let these words sink. Read just a few lines. Just one line. It was the hour before the gods awake. That's it. How to understand? Now when the mind goes, who are these gods? Hindu gods, Egyptian gods, Greek, I mean, mind can go. Is this god metaphorical or are these gods real? Now when you look at, mind will play that way. But if you let the whole thing sink inside, a meaning will emerge. And that meaning will tell you these gods are nothing but all the powers, the splendor. Before all this has emerged, all the powers, aspects of the one, before it has emerged, the whole creation is plunged in darkness. It's straight from the Rig Veda. This. So just let a line, two lines, few lines sink inside. And after some time, in quietude, with full faith, that she is the one who will reveal to me what needs to be revealed. And you will see that the meaning emerges spontaneously. It is not the perfect meaning, doesn't matter. It's something that we feel. We normally will, first meaning will be what is close to our understanding. Doesn't matter. Don't take it as final meaning. Then go further. Then slowly new meanings will emerge. So, I mean, I can tell you this for whatever it is worth. I've been giving so many talks on Savitri. Even a commentary is going to come out now, line by line commentary, precisely with this idea of facilitating the understanding. But if you ask me that, have you understood Savitri? So I say, you want me to be such a fool? And then I keep reminding, who can understand Sri Aurobindo? And that's where you'll see the secret. Who can understand Sri Aurobindo? He is vast as the universe and his teaching is infinite. The only way to come a little closer to him, which means to understand him, is to love him and give yourself unreservedly to his work. So these are the two things. Love him like, what shall I say, like nobody else. You have all the loves in life. So many surface things, attachment, this, that. But if you ask, what that love means is that if you ask, okay, you have so many people you love in your life. Tell me one you don't want to lose. If you say Sri Aurobindo, that's it. If there is a choice. So that's love. Love him. Unreservedly. Oh, but you don't know. He may give you this, may not give you this. There is this person. Doesn't matter. Even if he snatches every bit of what I call as myself and my existence, I'm fine with it. That's what Bhule Shah says, no? That teri talwar ke niche mein achhiyan karke thaiyan thaiyan. That you are, with your sword, you are cutting every bit of pieces, and with each drop of blood, I am feeling that ecstasy. So this connection has to be formed with the divine. It cannot be, yoga is not done by the mind. Mind will, it can be a very good preparation for a certain kind of, you know, when you have to express mind's engagement. But yoga is done in the depths of the heart. The heart has wings. That's how Mother puts it. So the first thing is, love. This what love. Love opens the door. If you love somebody, you understand. That's why one of the tests that wives use, husbands don't use, though they may have this in their mind, that you don't understand my choice even now. I have to tell you what I want. Never ask, huh? That what you want. You will get this answer. Get whatever you feel like. You say, oh, acha, you wanted this, okay. That's acceptable. But if you say that, what do you want, what kind of color? If you ask that level, then it's gone. Color? You don't know? So many years, what color I like? So, this is how it works. Love. But if you love, because this is the test. How well you love me? If you love me, you better understand now, you know. I can't say there is an error there. It is true. That if you really love, you are observant. You, by the fact of love, you identify. That's what happened when people live for long. That's why I keep telling people, marriage is not for young age. People are believe that. It's not true. Marriage is post 60. Because you have seen each other's stupidities, each other's follies. You have seen that at night this fellow snores. He has a habit of keeping his hairs in a hair in a haggard way. It's okay, but he's a lovable person. And she may get angry and she may do this, but you know what? She loves at heart. Then love makes you understand that behind her anger there is love. loves make you understand that behind his so-called neglect, there is love. So when that love bridges the gap, so love is important. And then serve the Lord. So intellectual study, there are a lot of people who study. People give talks also. They have translated Savitri. My first encounter was with a man who had translated Savitri in Punjabi and possibly Sanskrit. Now I forget. And he was giving a lecture. I didn't even know that there is something like translations of Savitri or what is. But just 1 year of, you know, Jumma Ardin. And he said, you know what, Shankara has said the same thing. Now, Sri Aurobindo minus the Sri has said. Then after some time, sir, I think there is an error there. Oh, and Kavita went on a different tangent. She said, actually, we don't like you taking Sri Aurobindo's name without the Sri. Now, you know, the two tracks have opened. Oh, you don't know. Mother used the word Sri because she was a disciple. So I said, excuse me, that's not right. Then, the you know, back and forth. No, it is Shankaracharya. I said, this much I understand. I have not read everything of Sri Aurobindo. I was just 25. It was too early, 26. I had started reading. I said, I have not read everything, but this much I know that this is not what Sri Aurobindo says. If this was the same thing, I wouldn't be here. Because I had read all this stuff earlier. He said, oh, that's just because of Shraddha. And, you know, then I asked him that, you know, now I'll talk to you, what is Shraddha? So he got so angry, annoyed, went away. He said, I'll never enter into this place. It was Sri Aurobindo Center where he was giving a talk. And people told me that, you know, you have annoyed that old fellow. I said, he's talking nonsense. What do you mean annoyed? Young blood as such, you know, Air Force flight lieutenant. So I told him, felt very happy and proud that time that I have done a great job. So after that, they said, now who will give talks? I don't know. I said, will you give? I said, okay. So that's how it started. I said, I have no issue. What is there? We'll read mother's writings. Why you need somebody to talk to you and talk nonsense? So you see that love. He has translated Savitri. So you can imagine. He is a senior professor. He was in his 70s. So there is not a criteria. Love Sri Aurobindo. And if one cannot love Sri Aurobindo and the mother, know that Sri Aurobindo has given a wonderful mantra. Know that the mother loves you. That's all that is required. Soul within, grace above. And you'll understand. Don't worry about English.
No, I know. I heard mother even saying that you read...
That's it. Bus, that's it.
My brain is not translating or getting the heart.
So it means the brain has to be quiet. That's all that is needed. Not English, but quietude of the brain. That's all that is required. Several ways to quieten the brain. My God. That's a feat. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Some other question? You had a...
So, like the read Savitri, and you know, the bliss, the love, the how simple things are there, like that with sons of God, everything, and also the yoga is very simple, like you surrender the mother, but still it's practical, it's still difficult. It's so simple, still.
Yes, because every monkey, the monkey called mind. I'll explain why it is so difficult. We read all these things, but why? I'm repeating the question, by the way. Okay, so why it is so difficult? Yeah, we'll come to that. So this mind is like a monkey. So whatever you may try, the monkey has to learn to be quiet. The transmission doesn't reach here, as rightly he has pointed out. How does the monkey become quiet? Monkey has to learn to serve the Lord. He becomes Hanuman. So the day the monkey understand, Sakal Padarath Hai Jagmahi. And at another place he says, I am mixing two verses, he says, Sabahi Nachavat Ram Gosai. The day it learns. And the mind, mother at one place says on education, psychic discovery, the first thing one must understand is that the mind cannot understand spiritual things. Guru Nanak says the same thing. He says, Sadho man ka man tyago काम क्रोध संगति दुर्जन की तासे अहनिश भागो. सो दिस प्राइड ऑफ द माइंड इज सो डीपली, इवन व्हेन वी से दैट वी डोंट, स्टिल दैट्स द ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम. एंड ऑफकोर्स देर इज अ सिविलाइजेशनल फेल्योर और वॉट एवर वी मे से दैट वी बैडली सफर फ्रॉम वाइटामिन एल ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड. इट्स कॉल्ड लव. लव इज सेंटिमेंटैलिटी, लव इज डेंजरस, love is some foolish bhaktas are all, you know, crazy people. This we have been taught since childhood, the left brain, and that's how the logic goes, that, you know, man has two sides of his brain, the left and the right. The left has nothing right in it and the right has nothing left in it. But man has a heart that we have forgotten. It's a civilizational failure. So because when I see just a generation or two generation back, I have seen our parents, and I'm sure many of us would probably connect. It was so simple and easy for them. Surrender, faith, simply because the analytical mind, civilization had not moved along those lines. So they would just accept it, receive it, Ram Katha Hoti Thi, all these things. We grew up, it's one of the greatest gifts that, you know, we have received, and especially from India, of course, it's a great gift to receive it. But now, because everywhere the stress is on, so mind is all the time restless, mucky, so it doesn't become quiet. So it has to become quiet. So after, when you come back from work, just chill. But chill not with a chilled beer. Relax, let go, office is there. Just quieten, take a bath, and, you know, sort of use an imagery if needed. Just do 10 minutes of Naam Jap, just to quieten the mind. Service of the divine is the fastest way. Find something through which you can connect with some work of the divine. And that is, or at least whatever work you are doing, do it as, you know, it's not mine, it's mother's work. Then slowly the mind gets, the monkey becomes quiet. And then it receives, then everything becomes so easy. It takes time anyway. So you are too young. 17, 18? Don't tell your age now. Okay. No, I have this yardstick. So my yardstick is that aging stops at 17 or 16. So if you ask me what is my age, I'll say 16 plus. So people say, ladies, don't ask age. I am not asking age. I am saying 16, your age is 16. But 16 plus how many years, that's all. As a doctor, I have to ask, you know. So never age, okay? Remain young, always looking toward the future. In that sense, I said 16. So you are always keen to learn. People who are 30, they are encrusted, fossilized. Why? Because they believe they know. Sorry, huh? I am including... Because they start believing they know. This is a great illusion. And if you have achieved something in life, if you are in a, say, high tech job, you unfortunately automatically believe you know. This is a big malady. It's a disease that you know. But to remain young is to always remember that there is so much more to do, so much more to know, so much more to work for. So that opens the door. So this, I know you have not reached there, but just I am saying as a word of caution, because this illusion can any time come in. Even it can come in with Sri Aurobindo. Oh, I have read Sri Aurobindo, I can give talks, therefore I know. No, that's not the criteria of knowledge. And do this Naam Jap every day for some time to quieten just the mind. Mantra is one of the best ways to quieten the mind. It's a physical mind which doesn't allow. Yeah. And then life will teach us. बच्चा जाएगा कहां बिना सरेंडर किए. लाइफ विल गिव एनफ अपॉर्चुनिटीज वेयर एट द एंड ऑफ द डे यू विल से आई डोंट नो वेदर आई अंडरस्टैंड सरेंडर नॉट बट आई हैव नो चॉइस बट टू सरेंडर. यू नो बेस्ट. सो लाइफ विल या सरेंडर डजंट बिगिन फ्रॉम होम, इट बिगिन्स फ्रॉम वूम्ब. यू हैव फॉरगॉटन. It begins from womb, ends in the tomb. The difference is in the journey of surrender, whether when you are going to the tomb, you are still surrendering to the same womb. The womb of ignorance. You have not recognized the divine mother. whom you must surrender. So that is the only difference.
Hello, the final taker. We are servant of the Lord, but we observant of the wife.
Your wife is listening, is all I would say. And you better not, you know, wives have a very smart way of saying, if you say such a remark, wife will say, Mera muh mat khulwao. That don't make me speak. That's what the wives will say in India, you know, if a man makes a cut, he says, don't make me speak. So back off. Is what you're saying.
Just chill out.
Yeah. Truth, peace. You, whatever observant one, a man may be of the wife, but you can never beat the observation of a wife and a memory which remembers 10 years back. What may have, I am not saying what has happened, what may have happened, which you have forgotten completely. Perhaps it never happened, but she remembers. Because there is an operating system is different. Prakriti, see in Prakriti, every activity is noted. That's how it is. Purusha is only sitting observing. Okay, that's enough of lighter stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. We have 10 minutes. We can, and with yours, then we can close. Yeah.
If the deity within is the basis of our examination, when the deity is not understood, how do we?
Yes. So the deity within is the basis of, you may use the word examination, life, everything. But if the deity is not understood, then how do we? So that's what we were reading. That deity you don't understand, but the deity understands you. So nobody fails in this examination. One who has made the world is ever its Lord. Our errors are his steps upon the way. So this, there are two ways of looking at it from my side of the story. So my side of the story is I don't understand. And frankly, who can ever understand? There is a line in the Isha Upanishad and I always, you know, I love to quote that. Avigyatam vijanata, avigyatam vijanata. If somebody says he has understood, he has not understood. But somebody who has not the thought of it has understood, because it is the deity who makes us understand. So even when we don't understand and we don't know how to navigate, we don't know the intention, we are assuming, presuming, all kinds of things. But the deity is smiling and he is leading us through all these understandings, misunderstandings, wrong understandings towards the goal. This is the beauty of the deity. Because if there was no such guidance in life, if the deity only waited that you understand me, then life would be hopeless. Quite agree. That's what we discussed. Static deity. But the deity is a dynamic deity. It takes cognizance of our limitations and overrules it. So that line from Savitri, his knowledge overrules our nescience. That's how we have to. Yeah, anything you wanted to say?
No. Let's say about the difficult, the word. So, you may not know anybody that what I went through March 25th, 2023. He's a physician. Lactic acidosis 26.6. Metabolic acidosis 26.6. Still they cannot figure out what happened, but I know what happened. The book I got, The Golden Day, The Supreme. Dad went to Pondicherry, Mustafa gave the book from Mother's Room. That journey, first birth to March 25, 2023, when that book came, Golden Day, the Supreme Manifesting Day, February 29, 1950, the 150th anniversary of the Supreme. The only paragraph, Mona Sarkar, the day I was reading was transformation of mind, body and soul from the mother, because the first birth of the journey was nothing but ego and egoism. Right? I saw, experienced that. So I said, I am asking for you. to transform my body to my body. And so I only want transformation, nothing but transformation only and nothing else. That was the from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., which I do meditation to Divine Supreme. Being said so, everybody still have a question. Even Sarja, they are so far, they wrote 30 pages of my book, not even my name. How come she is still alive? Dr. Ketan Babu is my brother, right? The day they need to take my eyes, my life support out, the day Apoorva, we call the youngest one of my brothers, to him, you got to come right now. He was doing root canal on the patient, half root canal, let him on that. He told Angie, bring another surgeon to do his root canal, I got to go. 2.5 hour drives, okay? Met the surgeon, ICU unit, close all the lights, he requested no treatment, nothing, stop everything right now on her. Everything has to be stopped right now as we are talking, and I've signed the petition that I am the advocate today. I sat on one couch. Dr. Ketan may just, with the music, I always have her mother playing her own organ, her own voice, and he knows what I listen every daily basis. He played the same thing. 4 p.m., right? Afternoon, 4 p.m. Until the next morning, nobody can enter that room of ICU. Everything is stopped, right? Everything means everything, no treatment at all. Next morning, the heart rate came up.
Yes, that's true.
The surgeon said, how is possible? So, Ketan Bhai said, everything is possible because the Divine Grace has journeyed to wait, and she saw the text.
That's true. Passage.
Mother pushed her back and said, you've got to go back to her. Yes. I can't do already.
So that's true. There is a point comes when the mind fails.
Nothing is difficult.
If that's true.
Tell her, totally surrender her. People ask me, right? I said, I have no capacity to breathe on my own. Who am I?
That's true. Actually, if, you really look at...
You can do anything you possibly
can. Yes. Everything is possible. Yes. Wonderful.
Wonderful for all of you to be here for this 2-day session.